is in Jesus.
Yes, it is. Yes,
amen. Amen.
The name above all names. The way, the truth, and the light. Dear Lord, we just love Him. Let's all stand. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer this morning. What a powerful, moving way to open up our service. We just love the Lord this morning. Love each and every one of you. So glad to see you. Just as we go to prayer, I'm just going to have a few spoken. There were some very serious. Every prayer is serious in God's eyes, but situations that God only knows and has to handle. There are those in the hospital. There are those in need. There are those in recovery. There are families that are struggling right now so much more than I think I can remember at a given moment as I think about it this morning. But everyone is so tragic and everyone is so serious. But we know a mighty God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And our Savior and our Lord Jesus Christ, who's given us that direct path that we can go through Him to the Lord, and we can turn all of our cares over to Him. So if you have a prayer request this morning, just show by the raising of your hand. Oh, we just love the Lord this morning. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we just love You. Lord, we come to You. We just want to praise and worship You this morning, dear Lord. We thank You for this day. We thank You for the breath that You've given us to breathe, dear Lord. We thank You for the opportunity we have to gather in Your house and in Your name. Dear Lord, without You, we're nothing. Lord, we'd just be wandering around lost, but with You, all things, Lord, are not only possible, dear Lord, but we're placing all things in Your hand, dear Lord. We've already had prayer this morning, dear Lord, and we thank You, dear Lord, for answering that prayer, dear Lord. We're releasing things to You this morning, dear Lord, that maybe are just pinned up inside, dear Lord, that we haven't even released completely. Lord, I'm praying for the prayer request this morning. You see each and every hand raised. Lord, we just love and praise You, dear Lord, though, and we've asked You to touch and mend and to minister in each and every situation that needs to be done. Our Lord, we just love You. Lord, we thank You. And, oh Lord, as You see each everyone here this morning, we ask for Your blessings, not only in this class, but in the children's church, Lord, for those that are traveling. Lord, we ask You to protect them, dear Lord, for those that aren't able to be with us this morning, whether they're watching on the live feed or they're going to watch it at a later date. Lord, we just ask You to bless each and every one. As Your word goes forth, dear Lord, may it just pierce our hearts and open up our lives, dear Lord, that we come to You. And, oh Lord, we thank You again for this day. We ask You to bless our pastor and his family. Lord, strengthen him as we go forth. Please receive every song sung and every instrument played just to worship and praise You. And, oh Lord, we give You all the honor, the glory. In Jesus' name, and we all say,
amen,
amen. Amen. Let's give Him another hand clap of praise. Praise God. Amen, amen. And you know, as we're standing, I want y'all to turn to page 305, please. The Old Rugged Cross. We want to talk about Jesus and His love for us. And just let this just sink in, what Jesus has done for us. The old rugged cross. Everybody just sing this morning. Worship the Lord.
Best for a world of
Praise the Lord. You may be seated if you can. I got us sidetracked in that song, and I don't want to apologize. I just want to tell you, as we were singing that, I was seeing Jesus. And I know what He's done for me and my family and my life. But I want y'all to, I just want y'all to know what He's done for each and every one of you. If you can only just look upon it. And I know we have visualizations not only in movies and other places, but for Him to give it all for somebody like me, for Him just to just release Himself and just show His love for each and every one of us to be on that cross. I just want to let y'all know this morning how much God loves you. And the moving service in our Sunday school class this morning got really, really into some serious scripture that has just really touched me this morning. So I ask for y'all's forgiveness. Just love the Lord. Just praise His holy name. We're going to go ahead and take up the morning offering. Got a couple of quick announcements as we get started. And I got a praise report. Brother Keith's not going to be able to be with us this morning. He's in the children's church, but we were talking about it right as Sunday school was getting started. I want to mention our Overcomers Outreach again. On Thursday nights at 7:30 in the children's church. And as y'all know, we've been announced the last couple of weeks, wanted everybody to know and wanted to get it broad and wide, far and wide, the word. That they now separate into classes. They have a ladies-only class and a men's class. And just to give y'all an update, and the reason we do announce things, the reason we want to get the things out, not only so we'll know, but the numbers have changed. They actually had five in the ladies' class, five in the men's class Thursday night. And he was able to tell me that with a smile, how great God is blessing. And there's so many ministries going forth, but you know, there are people that need to know. And I'm not saying they don't know the Lord, but I'm saying whatever situation and whatever reason they're there at the Overcomers Outreach, that Jesus died on the cross for each and every one of us. But most of all, they need to know that He is alive and well. And He's the right hand of God interceding for each and every one of us as His children. And we just love and praise Him. So keep that out of it. Yes, ma'am. Absolutely. If you'll help me remember next week, I guess when we announce that time change. That's great. Praise the Lord. Any other announcements real quick?
We will not be having choir practice tonight, but we will next Sunday.
All right. So they will not have choir practice tonight, but we will continue back next Sunday. Praise God. All right. Brother Billy, would you ask the Lord just to bless our morning offering, please? Yes, Lord. Amen. Amen. Thank you.
His presence this morning. It is just so good. It is so good to feel His presence here. And but you know, we can feel Him outside of here too.
Amen.
You know, because He lives inside. We can take Him with us everywhere that we go. I'm going to fall back on an old faithful song. I know y'all haven't heard it very often. But y'all just worship with me. Sing along with me. And because one day we're going home.
Amen.
We're going home. You know, it doesn't matter if every day is going to be Sunday or if every day is going to be Monday.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. Why? Because Jesus Christ is going to be there.
Amen.
And we're going to get to see Him. We're going to get to be with Him every minute that we want to.
Amen.
Y'all worship the Lord.
Shake and say, you got changed. If you are lost, He's a way maker. If you need freedom or saving, He's a prison shaking Savior. You got chains, He's a chain breaker.
I said, amen. He's a chain breaker, isn't he? Praise God. Oh. To really appreciate that, that means that once we must have been changed. We must have been chained and then changed. Amen? Yeah. To really appreciate that, if you've been lost and now you're found, if you were burdened down and in bondage, aren't you thankful that He is a chain breaker? Amen. Well, we ought to give Him praise in the house. We ought to worship Him and love Him this morning. Amen. I know what He done for me. There's no telling where I would be today had it not been for His mercy, His grace, and His abundant love. So good to see you this morning. Give all of our visitors a welcome. Let them know how glad we are that they're here to worship the Lord with us. And how glad that you are. Now give Jesus a hand clap of praise. Can you do that? Can you just love Jesus this morning? My, my, my. So good to be in the house of the Lord, and I really mean that. I hope that I will never, ever, ever take it for granted to be able to come into the house of the Lord and worship the Lord, amen, in spirit and in truth. Things are changing rapidly, but we serve a God who's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Amen. If you have your Bibles this morning, go with us to the book of Daniel, in the third chapter of the book of Daniel, as we have prayed and asked the Lord for His guidance, amen, for His word, amen. How many knows that God has a word for us? Are we able to listen? And if we listen, are we able and willing to obey the word of God? Sometimes God speaks hard things into our life, amen, but we must be able by faith to be able to receive those things and walk in faith. From Daniel, the third chapter, I want to read verses 1 through 6, a very familiar story, one that many songs have been written about, one that many Sunday school lessons have been taught, and no telling how many sermons have been preached. Nevertheless, that is where the Spirit of the Lord led me this week. Daniel chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. Thank you for standing for the reading of God's Word. Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold, whose height was 70 cubits, and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura, in the province of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent gather together the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Then the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces were gathered together unto the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then an herald cried aloud, "To you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king hath set up. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth shall the same hour be cast into the midst of a fire of a burning fiery furnace. Can we pray? Brother Chris, would you lead us to the Lord in prayer this morning, asking God to bless and anoint His messenger? Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Brother Chris. You may be seated. This morning, from that passage of Scripture that I hope is familiar to you. If not, bear with us this morning as we try to bring it to our remembrance. If I had a message title this morning, it would be Faith in Action. Faith in Action. Faith can be tested in many different ways. We read of Noah in the Bible where he had faith to build an ark. We read of Abraham, which was tested by God to offer his son Isaac as a sacrifice. How many knows that God stepped in through the form of an angel? An angel stepped in and only tested Abraham. He did not have to go through with the sacrifice, but yet he did have to obey through faith. Moses had faith to lead the children of Israel through the wilderness journey. Joshua had faith to obey the word of God, to march around the walls of Jericho as they fell flat by the power of God. We all know the story of David and how he had faith to face the giant. In all of these instances, they all required action. Faith put into action. But I would suggest to us this morning that sometimes it takes just as much faith to stand. Amen. In the case of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, there's a history of Nebuchadnezzar. He was a warring and a conquering king. He was the king of the Babylonian Empire. Not only conquered, but enslaved people. The cream of the crop are those that were a little bit above in their teaching and their learning were brought back to Babylon. The rest were destroyed. History tells us that Nebuchadnezzar had defeated Jerusalem not once, but twice. And on the second time, it was such an annihilation that he destroyed the Temple of Solomon. And brought back to Babylon, around the Baghdad area now, some 10,000 Jews. The reason it being 10,000 is because those are the ones that he thought were worthy that they could bring back and infiltrate into their society. The rest were destroyed. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were in this group. Right now I want to read verse 4 of the first chapter, and we'll bear with me just a little bit as I lay just a little bit of groundwork. Chapter 1, verse 4. These were children in whom was no blemish, but well favored and skillful in all wisdom, and cunning in knowledge and understanding, science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. This brings us to chapter 3 of what happened here in the plain of Dura. One of the many faults of Nebuchadnezzar, one of the many problems that he had, even though he was a conquering king and a warring king, history tells us that he was in reign for some 40 years and the Babylonian Empire was at its largest in history.
Many, many countries, many cities, many nations were conquered and brought under the umbrella of the Babylonian Empire. But also history tells us that Nebuchadnezzar had a real problem. And that problem was his ego. He thought of himself more highly than he should have. He began to, in fact, he had an image of gold erected in the plain of Dura, which stood about 90 feet tall and about 9 feet wide. Now, I want you to understand, as we read the Bible and we understand what happened here, everybody was not invited. The Bible tells us that the leaders, the office holders, the sheriffs, the counselors, were all invited to come into the plain of Dura, into the valley of Dura, to worship this idol that Nebuchadnezzar had erected. In fact, it wasn't really the idol that he wanted them to worship. He wanted them to worship him because he thought that he was in the place of a god. Now understand, some of the people, in fact, many of the people who came to this particular event were not Babylonian. They were not of the Chaldean race. Because Nebuchadnezzar had a plan. His plan was to conquer these nations, to go through and bring the ones that he thought were worthy into his kingdom and teach them his language and teach them their ways and teach them their ideology and cause them to worship gods that were strange to them. So he had a purpose for this. He thought if he could get the leaders brainwashed, it would carry over unto the common people. And he ruled by an iron fist. And he made a decree that whosoever did not fall down and worship this image of gold would be the very same hour thrown into a fiery furnace. Now let's go back and look at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Someone asked the question, I wonder where Daniel was. If you remember and read the story of Daniel, Daniel sat in the king's gate. He was not out in the provinces of Babylon. He was high and mighty, and already he had proved his faith in a couple of different scenarios already. He was there in the palace. These were the ones that came in. These were the upper echelon, if you would, of the members of the common people that were in the provinces of Dura, or in the plain of Dura. And it filtered down. In fact, I don't even read where Nebuchadnezzar was actually at that thing. He was just having it carried out. But he plainly told them, and the herald cried out, when you hear the music, when you hear the instruments played, you are to fall down and worship this image. And I began to think about all of the people that were there, a melting pot, if you would, of peoples from all different backgrounds, of all different ideologies, even some of the Hebrew children who had been taught from a very early age that they are to worship no idol, but to worship the one true God. And now the very first real test of faith that they are tested with, they buckled underneath political pressure when they faced the fiery furnace. So many times we think faith incorporates us moving, us doing action, us got to do something. And in many cases, I would even say in most cases it does. But I believe through this story, there are times when we as children of God must have enough faith to stand on the Word of God, to stand on the promises of God, and not let the things of the world infiltrate what we have learned through the Word of God and through the truth that we are based on, amen, believing God's word over any word of any leader. But I thought, were Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who by the way were not their Israeli names, these were the Chaldean names, did you notice anything? The first thing they wanted to do was change them. Do away with things that they had grown up to respect and to honor. Do you see a type and shadow anybody? to physically and mentally brainwash them into believing something that was strange and out of the ordinary to what they had been brought up. And I thought of all of the people, surely out of those 10,000 Israelis that were brought back from the second defeat of Jerusalem, and when the temple itself, Solomon's temple, the one that God had anointed Solomon to build, and Solomon even asked the Lord and petitioned the Lord, how am I supposed to build it? And you remember every instrument, every candlestick, every table, everything that went into that tabernacle was blessed, amen, by God and anointed of God. And it was placed there according to the will of God. And if that was not enough, amen, to cause the children of Israel, man, to stand firm on the teachings of God. But yet out of 10,000, and probably many of them were in the outer provinces of Babylon, were in the outer provinces of there, where the sheriff was and where the office holders was, given a test of faith, they put their ideology behind them. They put their beliefs behind them. They feared their life. And they favored their life over their beliefs. I thought surely out of those 10,000, there were more than three. They said, you know what? I'm not going to succumb to this. I'm not going to kneel to this. I know we got to face the fiery furnace, but I'd rather be dead, amen, than change my ideology. I'd rather be dead, amen, than proclaim there is another God except Jehovah God. The Bible tells me there is one true God, amen. His name is Jehovah Jireh. He is a mighty fine God, a wonderful God, a God that will see us through. But when it comes to facing these things, will we today be able to stand on the principles and on the Word of God? Or will we bow to political pressure? Or will we bow to something as strange or a strange God? Listen, I'm telling you today, it has happened in the history and it's trying to happen again. Wipe your mind. Wipe your mind from all of these things and let us tell you what is best. No. No. Amen. It takes faith to stand. And always faith in action doesn't mean fighting the giant or walking across the wilderness journey or building an ark. Maybe it does entail that sometimes, but sometimes it takes us just as much faith to stand and say, I will not buckle, I will not kneel, I will not succumb to the things of this world. I know a God, He'll never forsake me, amen, and I'm going to put my faith and trust in Him. Man, notice all the people, the nations, the languages that been preparing for this particular event in this particular time. I'm thinking how it may have started. Just bear with me just a moment as I use my kind of imagination. Maybe some of those, in fact, in one place it mentions the young men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Could it have been that this Babylonian king, that this Nebuchadnezzar saw something that maybe those that are of a certain age were not going to be able to change their minds and change their hearts? Maybe if we bring the young people in, those who may not have been established, those that may not have really been living for the Lord all of those years, and we begin to teach them a different way. We begin to teach them a more easier way. We begin to entice them with things that will put gifts on them and all of those things to change their heart and change their mind. And if that doesn't work, we'll threaten them with bodily harm. Has anybody seen anything that's happening in the world today that has not already happened? And let me tell you, when we forsake God, we forsake all of those teachings, all of those things. We got to have faith to stand on the Word of God, though everybody else is kneeling, though everybody else is doing things contrary. contrary to the Word of God. The church, the true believers, those that have been born again, listen, this is what brought me from a terrible pit of sin. This is what's guaranteed me a home in glory. This is not my final home. I'm only here for a little while. How many knows we got a better place? How many knows we got a wonderful place? A place prepared by Jesus Christ Himself. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Imagine the hearts of these prominent Israelites. What a choice. I would imagine that there was a time when they came through. You know, Nebuchadnezzar had the dream. None of his people could interpret the dream. Daniel, through the power of God, was able to interpret the dream. And even with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, said, "We will not eat the king's meat." There ought to have been, amen, a little bit of a hint that God is greater than anything that man can do. Amen. But it had not softened the heart of Nebuchadnezzar. The only thing, and many, many people think, that probably Daniel and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego found favor in the king's eyes because of their spirit. No, it wasn't that. If you read the Bible, it was because of what they knew. And that Nebuchadnezzar saw them, that he could use that intelligence. He could use that good spirit because they were very wise. Amen. So Nebuchadnezzar said, we can infiltrate them in. And they will be instrumental to bring the rest of the sheep, the people. Come on. You got leaders and you got followers. And if we can convert them, they can bring the rest of them in. So they brought Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And imagine them standing here with its greatest decision that they'd ever been faced with in their life. When we talk about decisions, we all have decisions every day. How many can probably name on one hand some decisions that have actually been life-changing decisions in our lives? Those are the ones that will have the greatest impact on our life. Those are the ones that you can't just say, flip a coin and I'm going to do this or do that. You got to weigh the advantages, you got to weigh the benefits, and you got to weigh the issues with them too. I would dare say that many of us this morning, under the sound of my voice, have prayed and fasted and asked God to help us make right decisions in our life. And because we're human, many times we still even fail to make the right decisions. But if you had to make the decision on the spur of the moment, would it be the right one? Would it be the one that God would want you to make? Would you want to spare your life first, or would you want to stand for God? And you got no time to go and pray and fast about it. You got no time to go and counsel with your pastor about it. It's whatever is in your heart. What decision will you make in the spur of the moment? And I would imagine as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego began to come and be a part of that audience there, and they saw this 90-foot tall erection of a golden image, maybe they thought, this is probably not going to turn out very good. Can I just ask you, have you ever been in a place as a born-again Christian said, "This, I probably don't need to be here. It's not going to turn out very good." Amen. And you have to make that decision. And then this herald cries exactly what's going to take place. You haven't had time to go to revival. You haven't had time to get in your Bible and study. You haven't had time to call the preacher. You haven't had time to call those brothers and sisters and say, "Help me pray and make the right decision." This thing is placed on your shoulders right now. You will either kneel down and worship the image, or the very same hour you will be cast into a fiery furnace. I imagine things begin to flash through the minds of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And can I tell you, just let me just share with you. They're human. Even though they're steadfast and unmovable in the Word of God, don't you know Satan jumped up and said, "Who will ever know?" You can Satan, I can hear Satan. You can bow down, but your heart won't be in it. Just go through the motions. You don't have to really worship that image. Just kind of do what the rest of the people are doing. That's one of the biggest lies Satan has ever came up with. Just go along with the crowd. Let me tell you something. Jesus didn't go along with the crowd. Amen. He came out of the crowd. Amen. His destiny was to save the crowd, not to be like the crowd. Just go ahead and bow. You don't even have to close your eyes. Just bow. And everybody will think that you're paying reverence and worshiping the golden image. But even though that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had learned the Chaldean language, even though they had been familiarized with the Chaldean ideology, and what was expected of them in the presence of the king, how they was to present themselves when they were in the audience of those rulers and sheriffs and magistrates and office holders, and how they were supposed to act. And as long as you play the good role of being a subservient person, then you can reap the benefits. I imagine all of that was flashing through their minds. But the one thing that Nebuchadnezzar was not able to change out of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was what was in their heart. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Can I tell you today to trust your heart, to trust the Word of God, what God has placed in your heart. If it seems foreign, then ask God about it. Amen. If it seems detrimental to your spirit, most likely it is. I believe with the infilling of God's Spirit, He has given us discernment. We need to use that discernment today. Amen. Not ask whether I think it's right. Not ask whether the pastor thinks it's right. But God, is this right? I want to be submissive to You. I want to be obedient unto You, God. I don't want to be swept up in the cares of this world or the actions of this world. And I believe that day that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they began to lean on what was in their hearts instead of popularity, instead of fitting in. Man, I learned very quickly after I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ into my life, I didn't fit in real good with a lot of different people. I loved them. And I think they loved me. But we just didn't have a whole lot in common. It's kind of like it was those few months or whenever it was that I tried to sell life insurance. Many of my friends, all of a sudden, were disappearing. I don't think it was because of me. I think it was because of what I represented. Amen. And many friends that I grew up with, when they found out that, no, as for me and my house, we're going to worship the Lord. We're going to serve the Lord. Amen. We're going to seek the Lord. And we're going to be obedient unto the Lord. All of a sudden, we didn't have those many things in common anymore. The one thing they could not change was what is in the heart of those three Hebrews that said, you know what? I'd rather be burned and scorched in a fiery furnace than to deny my God. That's a decision many may have to come to a point of making. Oh, Brother Eddie, there may not be no fiery furnace. Hey, it's getting hotter by the minute. It's getting hotter by the minute. It may not be a physical fiery furnace, but it can be a natural fiery furnace. Amen. You can be blackballed. You can be discarded. You can lose your job. You can lose your family. You can lose all kind of things so many times. But as for me, I got to put the Lord first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. These other things will be added. So the music began. People began to kneel in rapid succession. I don't know. The Bible doesn't say. But it could have been that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, I never believed that our brother would kneel to that. I never believed that. That was my Sunday school teacher. That was my father's friend. We've worshiped the Lord. We've read scripture together. We pray together. I can't believe that they're kneeling before this image of gold. When you're kneeling, listen, you can call it whatever you want to, but when you're kneeling before that image, you are basically denying God. And given that choice, I cannot, will not, under no circumstances ever deny my God. Amen. If they kill me, I'm going home. Amen. Glory to God. I got a better place to go to because I don't want to live down here away from the presence of God. But they said, you know what? This is the decision I got to make. Amen. And I want to convey to you this morning how easy it would have been just to kneel down. Just to kneel down. Bring no attention to yourself. Go along with the crowd. You can repent and get victory over it later. But can I tell you, sometimes it takes greater faith to stand than it does to walk around the walls of Jericho, than to even take and begin to prepare an ark. It takes so much faith because you know the consequences. And you know. And just exactly like Nebuchadnezzar promised, they were apprehended and brought before the king. Now the king saw them. And I think in all of the hardness of his heart and in his years of conquering, and he's even listed in history as one of the most villainous kings I've ever recorded in the Bible. He was bloodthirsty. He was power hungry. And certainly had a great, large ego. But even he saw something in those three boys that refused to kneel. Because they had already gained his confidence. They had already presented themselves as being a little higher up than the ordinary person. They were intellectual. They were spiritual. They were loving. They were compassionate. And he saw them. And he gave them another chance. Can I tell you, the devil may not flee from you the first time. We know, and we preach, get thee behind me, Satan. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. But before you get too high and mighty, understand, he approached Jesus, the Son of God, three different times. Each time promising him more and more and more. They've had a little bit of time to think about it now. And they're away from those people that know them, and they're in the palace, in the presence, in the audience of the king. The devil will give you an excellent opportunity so that nobody else will know, so that you can still keep your position with them. But yet, here's a second opportunity. If now you just bow down, we'll just forget about this fiery furnace. And I like it. Without a moment's hesitation, we're not careful to answer you, O king. In other words, we're going to tell you just exactly like it is. We feel the same here as we did out there. Amen. We still, we're facing the consequences of the fiery furnace. I choose the fiery furnace. My Lord, what faith. Amen. What steadfastness. What a relationship with the Lord. Not even a moment's hesitation. We choose the fiery furnace. Glory to God. And many doubters, many agnostics, many of those who would proclaim that God is just a fable and that all of these words are just the works of men. Let me tell you something. I've read words of men, but I don't get the same feeling. Can I get a testimony? There's something anointed about that word. Amen. I don't read it the way I do books of men. I read that word of God and it becomes alive to me. victory. Amen. It is my direction. It is my roadmap. It is my way to salvation. When I read anywhere in there, I feel something that I can't get anywhere else, because this word of God was moved on by the mighty hand of God as men wrote it according to God's will. God's will is special. Amen. God's will is wonderful. So here they are faced with a second opportunity. But she said, you know, we're not going to change our hearts. We're not going to change our mind. They would not bow, even in the face of death. So Nebuchadnezzar couldn't go back on his word. He couldn't go back on his promise. He would be viewed as weak. He couldn't stand that. His ego wouldn't let him do it. So even against his better judgment, even against his compassion and love, I believe he actually loved Daniel and these three Hebrew children for whatever reason. Just the spirit that was within them. He's between a rock and a hard place now. He has to go through. So his anger gets a hold of him. I thought surely they would change their heart when I give them this opportunity. But they're steadfast. They're unmovable. Man, they're bound and determined. So heat that furnace up 7 times. Hotter than it normally is. Bring me some of my strongest men to throw them into the fiery furnace. For those doubters, those agnostic, those in atheistic beliefs who said that was nothing more than just a smoke screen, a small fire that would in fact do no harm to anybody. Anybody could have lived through it. That same fire slew the mighty men that threw them into the fiery furnace. That's how hot the fire was. Not the ones that went in it, but the ones who stood at the gate or whatever it was at the pit and threw them in. They were destroyed by the heat of the fire. Now brings a very interesting point. You know, sometimes God pricks our heart. Sometimes God speaks to us in a still, small voice. Sometimes it's like a great, rushing, mighty wind that God gets our attention. And then for those who are stubborn like me, sometimes it's like a 2x4 right across the forehead. But for whatever way that God chooses to get His point across, thank God that He loves us enough. I saw something in that. As long as the three Hebrew children were standing in the plain of Dura, standing on their beliefs, standing on their principles and their ideologies and their convictions that we will in no way bow to this image, the king did not see their God. He saw their faith. It took the fire for the king to see God in action. And if God loves Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and His word says He is no respecter of persons, could it be that sometimes we have to be in the fire for those to see God in our lives? For those to witness what God is doing is absolutely a miracle. No human possibly could have withstood what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did. So he said he took their robes and he bound them, or he had them bound, in their hats and their hosen and all that. He bound them with these ropes or whatever and had them cast into a fiery furnace. I have issues sometimes understanding the thought process of people. They weren't going anywhere. They done made their decision. In fact, I would dare say that they would have probably walked on into the fire without anybody throwing them. I said, done made that decision. We know this is our destiny. But yet they bound them up. Their clothes and their hats, and they bound them up and cast them into the fiery furnace. And oh, egotistical Nebuchadnezzar decided he wanted to see him as an example to the rest, in case anybody else is going to be independent and not bow. I want you to see what will happen to you as we throw you into the fire. And he begins to witness what's going on. And he sees Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego walking around, not bound anymore. Went over some of our head. Not bound anymore. Amen. Glory to God. Loose. Glorified. Praying, just walking around. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I believe they were just worshiping God. I believe they were just saying, you know what? God is going to take care of us. And even if He doesn't, O King, we're still not going to bow. Tell you, the world's watching the church. Watching. See how faithful you are when it comes to this decision. See how faithful you are, amen, when it comes to this choice or this option that you have to make. And as Nebuchadnezzar is watching what's happening in the fiery furnace that's burning, and I know it's hot, but he's probably rubbing his eyes and he's looking and he's counting. He didn't see God when they apprehended him. He didn't see God when they stood before him. He didn't see God when they would not bow. But he threw them in the fire, and guess what showed up? He saw four loose walking, and the fourth is as the Son of God. Hallelujah. Can I tell you, he's still alive and well and still walking in the midst of the fire. You won't face it alone. You won't face it by yourself when you have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith in action sometimes takes faith to stand. I'm not going to tell you that Nebuchadnezzar totally repented and was converted, but I will tell you that according to the scriptures, he had a change of heart. From that time on, he did not deny the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And in fact, he went on to say that anybody who does will be cut into pieces. He didn't fully convert the way I read it. Amen. But he found a newfound respect for the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. There may be people that you'll never convert to Christianity, but when they see you standing on the Word of God, they cannot do anything else but respect the power of God that has sustained you through the storm, through the flood, and now through the fire. Because greater is He that is in us than he that is against us. We will come out victorious, not by our might, not by our power, but by the mighty power of Almighty God. Church, stay strong. Stay strong. Live in faith. Operate in faith. Believe in the power of God. Amen. Because the winds of the storm are blowing so violently against us. There may be decisions that have to be made in our lives. And I pray to God that I will base my decisions, amen, not on popularity, not on political correctness, but what thus saith the Word of God. And if you'll make your decisions on the Word of God, God will be with you. God bless you this morning. We love you so very much. We have a wonderful opportunity this morning. Sister Angela Domingo is going to be baptized. We're so thankful for that. We were able to have counsel with her, and She's just a precious, precious girl, and we're just going to ask her to come at this time and go to this room over here by the piano. There's towels and things in there as you can be ready to be prepared. We're going to ask our music if they would come forward this morning, play something as I get ready to go and have a baptismal service this morning. Can you give the Lord praise in the house this morning? Praise God. Hallelujah.
Have prayer for Brother Philip. He's having a procedure in the morning. I just need all of y'all to spend much prayer with us. We're going to give him a prayer cloth, which is just a point of contact to know the Lord is with him.
Our most gracious and heavenly Father, dear Lord, as we come to you now, dear Lord, as we just place all of our hope, our faith in you. Hand clap of praise.
You know, I love the statement that God is an on-time God.
Amen.
Amen. He knows what we need in each individual. What a wonderful time it is, just a special opportunity to witness someone being baptized. And just want to reach out to each and every one of you. If anyone needs prayer this morning, if anyone has a need, if there's anyone lost or troubled that knows that if you don't feel like you know the answer, we do, and that's Jesus. He is the answer. Amen? Amen. Well, with this prayer, we're going to be dismissed. Don't forget our service tonight at 6 p.m. There will not be a choir practice today. Yes, ma'am. Absolutely, we will. And God, He is the comfort in time of need.
Amen.
Our most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we just praise You. Lord, we thank You again, dear Lord, for this beautiful day You've given us and for this opportunity we've had to hear Your Word and, dear Lord, to gather together in Your name. Dear Lord, now we thank You for answering all the prayers that have gone forth. Dear Lord, we know that even the prayer cloths, those that are having procedures, Lord, we know that You're with us, dear Lord, and we know that through those, it is that point of contact that we can just know that You're with us. And, Lord, we just honor and we praise You this morning, dear Lord. We thank You for this baptism, for letting us be just a party to it, to be a witness to it. And, Lord, may we support each and every one that has confessed their faith in You, Jesus. And, Lord, may we help support and guide and direct. May we be the vessels that You can use. And, dear Lord, we give You all the honor and glory in Jesus' name. And we all say, amen, amen. Amen. Have a wonderful afternoon. See y'all tonight. Praise God.